I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Julie Keith, owner of VTex Barbecue. Julie discusses the origins of the business dating back to the 1910s, how her adventurous personality has allowed VTex to innovate since she took ownership, and why she's seized the COVID-19 pandemic as an opportunity to serve. But first, it's the Small Business Spotlight, presented by American Bank.
My name is Jose Lopez. I run Waco Shoe Hospital since 1983. I come from Mexico.
I've always loved the dilapidated neon shoe floating above the facade of Waco Shoe Hospital. It looks like an invisible giant lives on the roof and is taking its first step towards 18th Street. Some of these Waco businesses just ooze with story, and a squeaky heel on one of my boots prompted me to visit. I had no idea I was walking into a history lesson spanning the last 100 years.
The founder, it was Italian man, Anthony Vitrano. He started the business in 1919 on Austin Avenue. In 1937, he transferred the business from Austin Avenue to North 18, same location since 1937, 2505 North 18.
At the same time Anthony was cobbling in Waco, Jose was learning the tricks of the trade in León, Mexico.
I started to put attention in the shoes when I was like 6 years old, and learn, you know, every step, how to make it. And that's the way I grew up to, in a small factory, is to see step by step the way they make boots, shoes.
Eventually, Jose brought his talents to Waco, where he worked at the Montoya Shoe Factory on North Valley Mills Drive. He was always looking for extra cash in those child-rearing days, so he moonlighted with a bootmaker in Meridian, Mr. Lino Trujillo, who came from Jose's hometown, and made boots for movie stars. Eventually, the commute became burdensome on his family, so Jose started asking around for cobbler work in Waco. That's when he found Waco Shoe Hospital and began working for its owner, a Czech man who'd purchased the business from Anthony and who 6 months later offered to sell the business to Jose.
And I told him, give me time. So I worked like maybe 4 jobs.
Jose bought the business for $15,000, a moment of enduring pride, even to this day.
And he gave me time to pay him like 7 years, but I continued to work harder at 3 or 4 jobs. So, and maybe seven, 8 months, fully pay. And this is one of my glories.
Jose's joy in his work is intoxicating.
This is the buffer, and this is the trimmer. And I put the soles. This is what I use for.
As he showed me his machinery, moving more deftly than any time before that morning, I imagined him as a 6-year-old, running across the factory floor in raptures of ecstasy, thinking of all the beautiful things that could be made. He showed me 2 pairs of boots he was fixing, both having issues with the heel. One was a gaudy version, the feet covered in tan fish scales, the other a beat-down pair of Ariats.
I'm not scared to work. If you don't have the talent, you don't have the material, you don't got no business.
Now age 66, Jose realizes his success isn't based on talent alone. It's the helpful pieces of information he's gathered along his entrepreneurial journey.
I know all the secrets, how to fix it. When somebody come with the shoes, and they explain to me what kind of problem they have, I figured out right away how to fix it, because I learned in the, from the bottom.
That special knowledge comes with a price. Jose's spine is curved, having peered down into shoe heels for decades. The skin of his leathered hands has come to resemble the boots he fixes, and his arms don't generate the same force they used to.
Well, that's not what I want to retire. So my body does not have the same push. So that's why I want to work, yes, but not sacrifice myself too much.
Jose is stitching the final threads in his story, so you're still in luck if you have a squeaky heel like I did. After 60 years of cobbling, he hasn't declared an end date, but he knows it's coming. And when it does, he'll finally get to put his feet up for a well-deserved rest. The Small Business Spotlight is presented by American Bank, with three locations in town, including an expanded branch at Franklin and 4th. I'm now joined in studio by Julie Keith, owner of VTEX Barbecue. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thanks. Thanks for having me today.
Julie, what is your Waco history?
Born and raised here. Grew up in the restaurant family business. Not actually reared to take over the family business. My parents wanted me to go and get a couple of degrees, or at least one degree. So I did that. Dental hygiene and from Texas Women's University, and then a food and nutrition degree from University of Alabama. So I left Waco, unlike the rest of my family.
So were you in Waco through high school, then
yes.
You went away for college?
Yes.
Why do you think that your parents were pushing you for a life outside of the VTEX barbecue world?
Just to see what else is out there, kind of see where I landed, what my experiences might lead me to, what opportunities might be available, just to kind of keep an open mind, because you can always come back to it.
Yeah, that's the beauty of a family business, right? It's always going to be there. Now your kids know VTEX is here for us if we choose to engage with that.
Unfortunately, my parents stayed around long enough for me to go out and get a couple of degrees, start having grandchildren, lived outside of Waco, married, and then moved back to Waco.
Were you begrudging that your parents wanted you to get out and do your thing, or is that what you wanted to do at the time and you've just sort of been brought full circle back to Waco eventually?
I think as a lot of high school seniors approach what the big world is, you're not exactly sure. So you just kind of venture out and, you know, college is the next step, at least in my family. So I did that and kind of led into one opportunity into the next. And then when I was ready to raise children, my husband and I discussed moving back to Waco for a little bit, you know, less chaotic world from the big cities.
So the VTEX story goes back to the early 1900s, right?
Right. That's correct.
It was a grocery store,
yes.
Meat market.
Yeah, mainly meat market. Not a lot of, you know, foods were made. It was picking up ingredients. Sausage was made, but everything else was like picking up steaks, produce. It was kind of a corner grocery store where we're located now and meat market.
So it's been the same location.
This one actually is three generations. The location we're currently in was 1958. Previous to that was a couple of other different locations. One off of 12th Street. Our old delivery truck in one of our photos in the 40s was 7th and Webster.
7th and Webster. So that's prime Magnolia land now.
I know, right? Not far.
It is so funny to think about how all of these different businesses have just been stacked upon each other and
mm-hmm.
where Magnolia is now. VTEX used to be running barbecue.
Exactly. Like driving down the studio this morning, just seeing the history of the signs still kept up on the buildings of the furniture, you know, at L.L. Sam's and the city allowing some of the buildings downtown to keep what people would discover by unlayering renovations and coming down, stripping it down to what it was. is kind of neat.
Do you appreciate Waco more for having left when you went away for schooling? Like, do you think that you view Waco differently and your place in Waco differently now than had you stayed here the entire time?
I think yes. It's very much so a community, which I appreciate, because we lived in bigger cities, trying to find, you know, as young people do, you go to find opportunities in bigger cities. And coming back to the community is nice. So I think it was great to go get a perspective outside of Waco and then be able to appreciate and mature in a community.
So VTX is truly a family business. It's been, was it your great-grandfather?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yes. Can you kind of walk us through the lineage of how this idea started and the ways that it's evolved in the years?
So great-grandfather was a butcher, and then grandfather kind of led into the butcher world. My dad, he was led to go find an opportunity and not be in the butcher world. However, he did learn with my grandfather. He was managing a steel mill down in Baytown. And then he took over. My grandfather had a massive heart attack. So he ended up coming and taking over the business with my grandmother. So I think that's what kind of led him into that. And then it fed down the next generation. So then when Dad wanted to retire, we were like, wait, we can't let this go. So that's when we started to try to fit it and puzzle it into our life and how that could work.
Was that a difficult process? Because you're balancing, well, I just spent all this time and money getting my degrees. Now I have kids. And now I have this burden, but opportunity of carrying on a family legacy.
Sure. It's definitely a challenge every day. My husband also has his own company. So it's me, the store, and I, and the kids. And we have one kid in college now. She's at the Air Force Academy. And then Jason travels with his job. So that's how the hours, I think, probably reflect, or locations, is how much I can handle. Or want to handle, I should say. So just balancing it all is definitely a challenge. And luckily I have the personality that I can go for plan B if I need to, because that happens about daily.
One of the reasons why I wanted to have you on here, Julie, is that I have heard stories about your capacity. Like, you have an incredible, from what I've heard from various sources now, not just a single source, aww, multiple people talk to me about Julie, and it's, I don't know how she does VTX, and she does her kids so well, and she's involved in her community that well. And it's really something that I've started to notice in a lot of successful entrepreneurs in Waco, is that it's not that they're that much smarter than anyone else, it's that they work harder, and somehow they've created more capacity to do more in a day than a normal guy like me can.
Oh.
What are your tricks of the trade? It sounds kind of bad, but like, what are your resources? How do you stay as engaged as you are? How do you build that capacity? How are you so productive?
I think, one, my personality is being productive and efficiency. I'm always trying to figure out the most efficient way to do a process. I'm kind of a list person. However, I'm not writing out a list anymore on paper. I pretty much put stuff on my calendar. And if I don't achieve it all in one day, then I just kind of move it to the next day and be okay with that. So I don't beat myself down if I don't achieve everything that's on my list that day. And it just seems like if you're open to technology, that helps a ton. When I took over the business, it was all paper. So I was pregnant with number three. I was computerizing the business. And I feel like the efficiency of running everything, I feel like I can do more.
So what are some of your favorite resources that you found since you started modernizing the business?
Well, I'm always looking at POS systems. Is that what you mean, like operational?
Yeah.
Yeah, so POS systems are something that have always been
So this is the point of sale.
Point of sale. Yeah, sorry. And purchases. Other names for restaurateurs as well come along with that. But so they evolve like technology does so quickly. So I'm always looking to see what systems have done and what have they done to improve them. Because I also feel like in the business that we have, it also encompasses our young. Our market is very broad. So if we can still, you know, cater to the world of the technology of the young crowd, but still allow our older patrons, kind of to encompass it all, because you don't want to miss out on any market, and you want to be available to offer that opportunity, because we'll get people who now with the business, you know, it's generational. We have parents who went to Baylor, now their kids are at Baylor. So they're like, hey, I want to get, you know, my son a gift card. Well, now we have e-gift cards, which is super convenient. So I think staying along with technology and seeing what changes come along with that, every 2 years I'm looking at something different. And it, even though it's a daunting task to take on, to change over, I somehow just push myself through it. So I think always finding the operational keeps me motivated, because it's my next challenge. And it's also a challenge to keep something, a menu item that you produced every year after year after year. Still, you have the factors of employees and training employees. Adding that human factor into a recipe is where your variables are. So you always feel like you're training and keeping people to produce a consistent, because you've got to be consistent in the restaurant world, whatever it is, if it's consistently bad or consistently good or whatever the expectations of your customers, they want to know consistency. So I feel like training is always on my list in operations, and how can I make it easier and to fit in the world of how our workforces change, how they learn. That is, management is a big challenge. I still haven't learned it. But when I find things at work, I'm like, oh, it's taken me this long, a decade, to figure out how to motivate that person, you know.
It's bumps and bruises in this restaurant world. And you can come in with the greatest plan ever, and it gets turned on its head. One thing that has completely shifted the industry is the COVID-19 pandemic.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that your tenacity for improving systems and always surveying the scene for new technologies that might increase your efficiency, I'm sure that has been tested during COVID. What has COVID brought for your business?
Yes. So I, with technology, was updating my access points, because in that cinder block building, I was having a hard time over the past few years to get Wi-Fi signals. So I upgraded all of that, and then I went into an iPad-based system that was cloud-based, because I've done hybrids. And now I went cloud, which was great. And now I could car hop. But I was going to a whole new system to train the whole new employees. So all of that was a challenge. And then, you know, your manager might say, hey, this is a little stressful to me. I need to stay home for the week. And you're like, but we have this whole new system to roll out. But you know what? We got this. So I love challenges. I love seeing people kind of work through it with me. And but yeah, I mean, adaptability is the main focus, and just taking day by day and not looking at the whole picture, but looking at the progress you make to get to an end result. We're still every day changing.
You're hearing from Julie Keith, owner of VTEX Barbecue, home of the famous Gut Pack. What's the Gut Pack story?
Oh, the Gut Pack in the early 80s. Just my dad, and he was trying to find something that would fill these workers that would come in early in the morning, and then they would only eat one time a day until they got home for dinner. And so he just kind of started layering stuff together, and it took off.
And was it always Fritos? Was that always the chip
yes.
of choice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then he found out.
Do people get kind of customizy with their
gut
packs?
Oh, of course. Of course. You know, now we have Mac on top. It's not on the menu, but that's just, you know, some of the secrets that people come in. I've had one and one only. Someone had us layer potato salad at the bottom. I find it interesting. But everybody tries something. They like to vary it a little bit, whether it's Doritos or Mac on top, you know, stuff like that.
I'm sure there's millions of iterations if you really wanted to explore.
Exactly. We just don't list all those. We let you create. We're more than willing to let you give us your request.
Well, I'm sure there have been a lot of changes in what folks are ordering on their gut packs over the years. But outside of the building, there have been a lot of changes around you. Right there, 1800 Spate Avenue. Right there next to now a bunch of I-35 traffic. But you guys have been in that same building. I remember when I was younger coming here and the building was just a little rectangle. And then a few years back, you guys did a big, beautiful expansion and upgraded a lot of the facilities there. What is VTEX able to do now that it wasn't able to do 20 years ago?
For one is seating. You know, we had one picnic table. And as I was kind of getting into the new restaurant world, running it, I added a 8-seat bar. So then I think my capacity was up to maybe 12 people or so. But I think seating was a huge thing. That way families could start to join us. People could travel and bring their dogs and onto the beer garden. And I feel like we could go into serving more and a broader market.
Well, that area has turned out to be such a nice and comfortable place to shop and to hang out. They put
Most
in some
definitely.
Nice retail there with the Bar Freight that opened up recently behind you guys. That's a terrific open area place. You can bring your dog, have a drink, bring over a gut
pack. We love having Freight there because our staff comes in early in the morning, and if we have a party that wants to stay late, we're like, hey, you can continue at Freight. So it's been a nice partnership in having them, or they can go over there and be outside, and we can bring food over. They can order by QR code, and we deliver. So it's been a nice partnership. We just share the parking lot, and we love having them there.
Where does VTEX fit into the constellation of barbecue stars in Waco? We have so many different types of barbecue all across the city. Is VTEX a Baylor College barbecue place? Is it an old school, old Waco barbecue place? What's your assessment?
I don't know. I think we've always been kind of on our own little, our own is the word concept, I guess people use these days. We try to customize and meet the different needs of what our customers are requesting. I mean, we still stick to some of the old school sandwiches that our people are used to. I don't carry the bologna anymore, but we still serve some hot chubbies, hot link sandwiches. And so we still carry some of those classics that stay around with the customers that still come in and say, I remember when your grandpa, you know, was here, your grandmother. And so that's kind of neat. But as far as fitting in, I feel like barbecue is really hard to compare because everybody's season's different. People cook on different cookers. All those factors can change how something, a product can taste. So it's really hard to compare apples to apples because I don't think we're apples to apples.
Brisket to brisket.
Brisket to brisket, yeah. So I think everybody has to kind of find their niche. But it's nice having all the choices for people here in the community.
As an innovator like you are, how do you balance between having a legacy to protect that has been passed down since your great-grandfather with knowing that innovation needs to come or eventually we will go extinct?
Right. I feel like I use my new if I get new ideas or new innovations, that's where I'm missing like the catering right now. I usually have some longtime customers that'll be, you know, hey, would you like to try this? I'm trying this out. So I feel like I can meet that need of new innovations on catering and still keeping the flavor fresh and something different. But I feel like our store still needs to, you know, reproduce that same feeling that people come in, that nostalgia that came in when they were at Baylor, you know, 25 years ago. They still want to walk in that front door, see the bread table. They want that feeling. So we still have to keep some of that stuff the same, but we can still bring on new menu items to meet the people that are with them that don't necessarily have that memory attached to a turkey sandwich on white bread with pickles and mayonnaise and barbecue sauce. So I feel like balancing all of that, the catering helps to bring that in and still keep up to date with technology, but maybe some of the menu items stay the same because they're attaching that taste that they had 25 years ago.
I rode the Pokio's truck over here, parked outside, and you mentioned it as you walked in that you wanted to stick your head in and sneak a peek about how we laid everything out. Are you thinking about a mobile unit for VTEX?
Yeah, so we have the food truck currently right now. I've always wanted something that I want to get in and drive, but I don't necessarily want the traditional food truck that's ultra huge. We have people call in and say, hey, can you just come for 30 people? And our big food truck is meant for 2,500 large crowds. It's a big ordeal to get it out. So I recently bought a Mercedes Sprinter, and so I'm going to finish out the inside of that, but mainly for serving, not cooking equipment. We have all of our stuff prepared in our kitchen, so we just mainly need to go out. And right now, the trend is all individual meals, so we just need to be able to go out and serve. So I've found some all-in-one portable hand wash sinks, three-compartment sinks that don't consume a lot of space.
Well, that's one of the great things about the mobile vending community in Waco. It's a tight group. My good friend Young Day Moon of Club Sandwich, you've been helping him out during this COVID pandemic and letting him set up shop at VTEX. And it's just incredible to be a part of this community in Waco in general, but the food community specifically in Waco. Final thoughts. What does it mean to you to be a business owner in Waco? How has Waco shown its true colors to you over the last 9 months? Anything you're particularly grateful for or appreciative of?
Of course. I feel like, with I said in the beginning of like living in Waco is such a community. And I feel like when you give back to the community gives back to you. We really saw that in COVID. I mean, I know when the silos closed, or I was hearing them close, I reached out to Young Day. I'm like, what are you going to do? So I'm fortunate enough to have space that our dining room was closed. So I had that whole other side and I wanted to host him. So I feel like when you give back in the community always gives back to you.
Julie Keith is the owner of VTEX Barbecue. Julie, thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate being here today. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to Julie Keith of VTEX Barbecue, Jose Lopez of Waco Shoe Hospital, American Bank, and you for tuning in to another episode of Downtown Depot on Waco Public Radio. I'll be back the third Friday of December with another episode telling stories from your community. And until then, find me on Instagram and Facebook at Waco Business News to stay informed. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.